W Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. After Iran launched missiles targeting a U.S. base in Qatar, a U.S. official says there were no other attacks on U.S. bases in the Middle East. The official also says there are no reports of damage at the Central Command regional base. ABC's James Longman is in Iraq, where other U.S. troops remain on high alert and say Israeli strikes have worked to cobble Iran's nuclear and military capabilities in the months after October 7th attacks, along with its proxies in the region.
This time round, though, they have fewer proxies at their disposal. Yes, there are still militias in Iraq that still function broadly in the way that they have been before the Hamas attack on October 7th. But other proxies really have been degraded. If you just look at Syria, which sits between the two countries, of course, Bashar al-Assad, really a key ally of the Iranian regime.
President Trump meeting with his national security team in the Situation Room today. The question now, how will the U.S. respond? This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. With our weekly look at gas prices, here's Melissa Kay.
Average gas prices rose 12 cents per gallon over the last week. The average across the state is $3.04 today. This is 1.7 cents per gallon lower than a month ago and 23 cents lower than this time last year. Officials at GasBuddy say oil prices have continued to climb over the past week due to Israel and Iran trading attacks. This has caused gasoline prices to rise at the pump at a pace we haven't seen since last summer. Officials continued saying motorists should anticipate a steady climb in prices since the U.S. launched attacks on Iran. The national average is likely to increase another 7 to 15 cents this week. While these forecasts remain fluid and could shift quickly depending on global developments, GasBuddy officials do not expect apocalyptic spikes so-called influencers on social media are predicting. They say many of those claims are wildly inaccurate.
This morning, GasBuddy is reporting an average price of gas in Green Bay to be $2.81 a gallon. It's $2.82 a gallon in Appleton, and $2.89 is the average price of a gallon of gas in Oshkosh. With just days to go until the deadline to approve a new biennial budget, Republicans in the state Senate don't appear to be in agreement on a plan. A new biennial budget must be signed by July 1st, or spending levels will remain the same as they are under the last biennial budget. Some Republicans, like State Senator Chris Kapanga of Waukesha, say they may be better off with the old budget to avoid giving Governor Tony Evers a chance to use his partial veto power. Governor Evers previously used that partial veto to increase school funding for 400 years. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.fm.
It's the Brewers and the Pirates. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight as the Brewers open a home series against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Milwaukee now just 3.5 games out of first place after sweeping the Twins over the weekend. 9-8 yesterday at Target Field. The Brewers had a 9-3 lead thanks to Rhys Hoskins with a double, a home run, and two runs batted in. But closer Trevor McGill had to come in the eighth to hold off Minnesota. Pat Murphy says catcher William Contreras also doing a great job setting up batters, and praised McGill getting his 17th save of the season already.
The kid's been pretty consistent. He knows who he is. And again, William Contreras was great back there.
NBA Finals, Oklahoma City pulled ahead to win the title in Game 7, 103-91. Pacers head coach Rick Carlisle on losing his star player from Oshkosh, Tyrese Halliburton, to a torn Achilles tendon in the first quarter.
What happened with Tyrese is all of our hearts dropped.
That's Rick Carlisle with Sports on Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
A severe thunderstorm watch has been issued. High damaging wind gusts expected around 60 to 70 miles per hour, heavy downpours, lots of lightning, and hail is possible too, which could be up to the size of ping pong balls. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 91.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early, Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, the Tally's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Man, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, our friend and colleague Todd Alba will be joining us at 9:30. Audio Sorbet and This Shouldn't Be a Thing in hour number two. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Alba Show.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alba, along with our outstanding producer, engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock on this Monday, June 23rd, 2025. It is a great day to be Wisconsinite. Glad to have you along with us here from the world headquarters of Civic Media in downtown Madison on State Street. Looking out the window, sunny skies, the high clouds right now, fluffy clouds here. Zommers on the board. Didn't have a chance to talk in hour number one, Zommers, but you made it through. Zommers is heat, anti-heat. And so he made it through. He did not melt. And also we have in the producer's booth our very own Parker Olson, who is joining us, where we have double producers. Parker, welcome. How you doing?
Well, thank you, Todd. I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
Doing fantastic. Great. Parker is here today because he's going to be filling in for Zommers Wednesday or Thursday?
Thursday.
That's right. Thursday. So Parker, of course, does the great Pat Kreitlow show. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow every morning from 6 until 9. He's been on the program as a grad of UW-Whitewater who just won the big Division III World Series in baseball. And today, Parker and our human resource director, Jacqueline, were dancing a jig because her very own Tigers, LSU Tigers, won the Division I baseball champions. So
we're very happy. We are very proud alums right now.
You are. Jacqueline had her LSU jersey.
Although that's pretty normal attire for her.
Yes, it is. She's very proud LSU grad. Well, happy to have everybody along here and on the show. Many thanks to State Senator Kelda Royce for being on in hour number one, and also to Professor Steven Zunes of the University of San Francisco on that breaking news that our national ABC and CBS folks are continuing to cover. That is that Iran has tried, at least attempted to retaliate against U.S. forces that are stationed in Qatar after the U.S. bombed 3 nuclear sites in Iran. Reports are that none of the bombs, these short-term ballistic missiles, has actually touched down or done major damage to any of the U.S. Air Force bases, but we will continue to monitor that and bring you the latest as it becomes available. Coming up in this hour, at the bottom of the hour, going to talk more about state news with State Bureau Chief and our friends at Wisconsin Watch, Matt DeFore. Been a while since Matt has been here. Looking forward to that. Matt is going to be in talking about some of the headlines of Wisconsin on this Monday. And one of them is he's been working on this AI project, and it's interesting that Parker is here because it wasn't Matt, I don't think, but one of the other great writers, journalists at Wisconsin Watch, did a review of the biggest talk news programs in Wisconsin and who was telling the truth, who wasn't, and what kind of AI was going on.
What we've learned here is that Pat Kreitlow is a liar.
No, that's not what we've learned. What we've learned is that Pat Kreitlow is a much bigger program than Todd because they didn't even listen to my show. They said the only program at Civic Media that's worth listening to is Pat Kreitlow. That's true.
There was no value judgment. It was just
well, it was the biggest show in Wisconsin.
They wanted to get a sampling across different networks too, though.
Right, but Pat did very, very well. A couple of tiny little minor things, but anyway. So we're there. Matt is back to talk about that and AI, artificial intelligence in news gathering, what this all means for us here in Wisconsin, and other news of the week. So Matt will be in here at the bottom of the hour. Right now, though, what Mark wanted to chat about? We don't know. All right. Well, let's find out. Let's find out what Mark wanted to chat about. 855-752-4842. Mark in Pernissack is on hold. Mark, thanks for calling in. What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, I have plenty of firearms, and including handguns, but I have no need to carry them around everywhere I go. And for Mr. Kapinga, the cautionary tale about that came out of Utah, where a safety observer was there and saw somebody supposedly brandishing a firearm. And shot three times and killed an innocent bystander. I mean, so is Kapinga that well trained that he knows exactly what the hell he's doing, that was going to be able to defend himself? You draw his weapon. I mean, we've all seen the old westerns. There's occasionally I'm channeling my dad, and God rest his soul, but he was a big fan of the westerns. And a lot of those westerns, the way the lawmen cleaned up the town is that you got to town, you turned in your weapon, and you didn't need to carry it around with you everywhere you go. That's one thing they're looking forward to in these towns is that not the need to be carrying a weapon wherever the hell you went.
Right.
And for Mr. Kapinga, I mean, that how does he know he's going to react quickly enough to some kind of situation or misjudge a situation?
Right.
And injure or kill somebody that had nothing to do with what the hell he's doing.
Right, exactly. Mark, thanks a lot. I appreciate the call. Mark was talking about the story we talked with Senator Royce with. WISN, the folks... now I got it in my head. Weekend Update from up front. That's the program. Not the Weekend Update on SNL. A very different program than Up Front, as it turns out. But no, Up Front had Kapinga. Now we're told is the correct pronunciation, saying that he packs heat on the Senate floor. Also, Senator Van Wongard has bragged about packing heat, and over the weekend saying that he's all for legislators packing heat, but he doesn't want anybody else to in the state capitol and wants to put in metal detectors.
I also, for those of you who are not watching the stream, you should have seen Senator Royce's face when he said, like, I always have a gun. She's just like, excuse me? That would have been good information for me to have.
Right, exactly. So don't mispronounce Kapinga's name or you could.
Or you'll get a Kapinga.
Right, exactly. All right, it's 12 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Time once again for What's Worse. Let's go. Time once again for What's Worse. Nothing to give away, no prize money involved, but it is your chance to have your voice heard across all 11 news, weather, sports stations in the Civic Media Radio Network, the largest privately owned radio network in Wisconsin, only behind our friends at Wisconsin Public Radio, which, by the way, we'll get into that maybe a little bit later, but boy, some sad news coming out of Wisconsin Public Radio. Let like a dozen people go, canceled 4 programs, and in part at least, to this lack of state funding for Wisconsin Public Radio. But if you would like to advertise, no better place to advertise than right here, the Civic Media Radio Network. Check us out at civicmedia.us, and our sales department would be happy to work with you and make you one of our sponsors, one of our partners, one of our friends here at the Civic Media Radio Network. All right, Zombers, as the great sports reporter Mike Lucas is fond of saying, timely, timely indeed, the category for today's What's Worse, heat wave or cold snap? Heat wave or cold snap? What's worse? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. Don't have it, you say? Well, I like to remind people of this. The only better time than today, because today, or yesterday, rather, yes, the best time would have been having it yesterday. The second best time to download the Civic Media app, today, right now. So go to your app store, your Apple or your Android device, type in Civic on the search bar, Civic, C-I-V-I-C, media. It'll pop up, little CM logo, click on that. Takes less than a minute. It's free. It's what CBS's Gail King calls a deal. The Civic Media app. Text us on the Civic Media app. What's worse, heat wave or cold snap? Matt in Middleton saying heat wave is worse as more suffering follows, such as death, drought, etc. So Matt saying a heat wave is worse. What's worse, heat wave or cold snap? 855-752-4842. Also, Larry, listening over in beautiful Deerfield, Wisconsin, via WMDX, says, given we're in a climate crisis, heat is worse. In 2023, there were over 2,300 heat-related deaths in the U.S., a 107% increase since 1999. Globally, it's much worse. Read the novel Ministry of the Future, one of the Obama's suggestions, and you will understand why heat wave is worse. Now, Larry, that is some good research right there. That's not just fun. Those are facts that we could all use. So thank you, Larry, for giving us a well-founded, well-researched answer on there. What's worse, heat wave or cold snap? 855-752-4842. Connie, listening on WMDX here in Madison. Connie from the 608 says, I would rather have a cold wave as I could put on more clothes. In a heat wave, you can only take off so many clothes in public unless it's the naked bike ride. See out there, that's exactly right, Connie. That's exactly 100% right. And when does anybody know this is happening?
I think it already happened.
Did it already happen?
I think it was
the naked bike ride
in
Madison?
A week or two ago.
Because I was home now over the weekend celebrating mom's birthday again.
I don't like where this is going.
Happy birthday. And we got talking about the heat wave and how many clothes you could take off. And she said something along the lines of, well, maybe you could be in that naked bike ride. And I said, no, I'm not doing the naked bike ride.
Well, that's what I always say. I'm giving away my answer. Everyone already knows my answer. Anybody who listens to the show knows that I am going to say the heat wave is worse. But
right.
I always say that when it is cold out, you can always add more layers or move around more and generate heat. When it is hot, you can only take off so many layers legally. And even if you go beyond that, it still is not enough.
See, I and God love you. I'm happy that you're here, Zommers. I'm happy you're our producer. And this is not negative towards you. But I feel like you're either in another life or maybe in the next life when you come back, if you're into reincarnation, I feel like you were an Eskimo one time.
Perhaps.
I think
maybe
you were born above the Arctic Circle. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Mona in Madison. I love that alliteration. Mona in Madison, listening on WMDX. Mona, heat wave or cold snap? What's worse? Mona? Are you there, Mona? Mona? Mona Lisa.
Something must not have worked there.
Mona. Mona is there. Mona is not there. Well, Mona, if you could hear us, Mona, call back because there seems to be a snafu, which stands for situation. Oh, anyway, there's a snafu in the phone lines and give us a call back. Maybe the phone lines are just too hot.
The
heat has melted the phone lines, apparently. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. What's worse, a heat wave or a cold snap? Our friend Gordy Kopke, where is Gordy at? There he is, Gordy Kopke down in Oregon. By the way, he's a great sponsor, Kopke's Greenhouse, in the town of Dunn, just outside of Oregon. Head on down if you're in the area. Still some great value, great buys, great plants. No better place than Kopke's Greenhouse. Gordy, listening on WMDX, says, Todd, what's worse, this heat wave or the cold wave on January? Now, see, Gordy is very specific about this. This particular heat wave or, what do you say, or the cold snap?
The cold snap in January.
See, I'm going to give away my answer, which is fine. I said this with Senator Royce. We haven't had one in a couple, 3 years, but those, what do they call them? Arctic blasts.
Polar vortex?
That's it. Those polar vortexes, it lasts for like 2 weeks, and it's like 35 below with a wind chill. It's just unbearable. Oh, not unbearable, but I don't like those. I don't like those because going in and out of your car and all that sort of thing. So I don't know. For me, I guess with a heat wave, if you don't have to be outside, I guess I prefer the heat wave, but maybe I'm in the minority. Come on back. We'll find out what Zomers get. We'll find out what Parker thinks. Heat wave or a cold snap and wrap that up. And our friend Matt DeFore is coming up to talk about AI. Will Todd be replaced? It's the All Ball Show on a Monday on the Civic Media Ready Network.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 97.9 WGBW.
Insight Eye Care has been serving the Fox Valley for over 30 years and are proud sponsors of Mino and the Mayor's Eye on the Community. Insight offers comprehensive eye care, including glasses and contact lenses. Their doctors have a special interest in treating chronic eye disease, specialty contact lenses, and pediatric care. Find Insight on Sawyer Street in Oshkosh and Chain Drive in Appleton. Visit WIinsight.com to schedule your eye exam. Improving lives by improving sight. Insight Eye Care.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Environmental groups say the Midwest grid operator, MISO, is pushing an emergency energy plan that discriminates against wind and solar, the two cheapest ways to produce energy in our state. The plan favors fast-tracking construction of gas-burning power plants at the expense of clean energy projects. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission rejected a similar plan from MISO last month, but environmental groups say this one is even worse, with few guardrails to ensure fossil fuel projects are actually needed. Once again, Wisconsin had the biggest wild turkey season in North America. More than 50,000 wild turkeys were harvested in our state this spring. The Department of Natural Resources reintroduced the birds into our ecosystem in 1976 and has been managing the hunt ever since. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Back to the Tom Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, 22 now, past the hour of 3 o'clock. Glad to have you along here with Zomers on the board. Parker as well. The category right now, we're wrapping up, what's worse, heat wave or a cold snap? Heat wave or a cold snap? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, or text us on the Civic Media app. Our great friend, the award-winning Terry Barr, Terry Barr Media, host of Max Inc. Radio, one of the co-hosts of Max Inc. Radio, great show every Saturday night, 6 until 12 on the Civic Media Radio Talk Network. And by the way, how nice of Terry to tune in, because I wouldn't blame her if she was a little salty because we interrupted their great program with a big breaking news. Well, it wasn't really us. Trump decided to bomb Iraq, and so Iran, and what more can we do? We had to do a special report, and so we took some of their airtime. So thank you, Terry, for not holding it against us. I asked the question last segment about the naked bike ride, the annual naked bike ride in Madison, and whether or not it happened. Here now, Terry Barr, I'm going to end up with a naked bike ride. Terry Barr has said the naked bike ride was this past weekend. It was hot in capital letters, but heard there was still a great turnaround. With the heat alone, I mean, I don't want to get too far down this road, but with the heat alone, I mean, can you imagine? I mean, how just sweat and everything. You'd fall off your bike seat.
Yeah, I feel like you need to lay a t-shirt over the bike seat or something, right? Especially if you get off your bike for any amount of time and the black just heats up. You're going to burn yourself, and it's going to be very unpleasant.
Right, very unpleasant indeed. So thank you, Terry, for that great information, and thanks for watching. My sister Heather watched you on Facebook saying a heat wave is bad for all the reasons given, but honestly, a cold snap means I have to put on socks and clothes. Toe shoes. Yuck. I'm going to say cold is worse. My sister hates, she likes her Birkenstocks and her flip-flops and all that.
And she also says, the kids / students call me out and say, your dogs are out. It's not cool, I guess, but too bad, kids.
Your dogs are out? Is that really?
That's a thing for toes.
Really? Your dogs are out.
So in a rare moment where I'm not wearing socks, one of my roommates would be like, Aaron, the dogs are out.
The dogs. Well, this now, I'm not sure how far we want to go down this, but Parker, first of all, Parker, what's worse, a heat wave or a cold snap?
Heat wave is definitely worse than cold.
Really?
100%.
Why?
Yeah. It's just, you feel grosser when it's hot out. It's very
right.
Simple.
Yeah, I think that you get sticky. That'll go along with. But now you said, I guess you said, the streaming audience, you wear your socks to bed.
I do wear my socks to bed. Yeah, the dogs are never out. The dogs are out about once a day, and it is for a shower.
Do you swim with your socks on?
Well, I guess I don't swim with my socks on. Okay. No, you got me there, Todd.
Do you feel vulnerable when your socks are, when your feet are exposed?
I don't know. Now that I'm thinking about it, I think my feet sweat quite a lot, and I know that's contradictory. But if my feet are sweating. Mm-hmm. And I've got them like on the sheets and on my blanket. That's worse than just sweating in my socks to me.
There's so many questions I won't ask on the air. Zommers, you wear socks all the time.
Yeah, I have to, though. Right. They're compression socks. Right. And so I don't really have a choice in the matter unless I just want to pass out every time I stand up.
If Zommers, here's the point. If Zommers didn't wear socks, it'd be like those fainting goats all the time.
Yes, it would.
That's the way the show would operate. So keep your socks, for the love of goodness gracious, keep your socks on, Zommers.
I always do, except when I'm sleeping.
But maybe,
I don't wear them when I'm
maybe
sleeping.
Maybe next year, but the naked bike ride is always on like a weekend, right?
Yeah.
All right. So I was going to say I couldn't do the show while on the naked bike ride. And quite frankly, it's probably better that I don't.
Yeah, I feel like having cameras there would be a bad move.
No, we would not do cameras on the naked. No, it would not be that. It would not be that at all. All right. Well, there you go. There's anybody left on the app that we didn't get to? Steven Lodi. Chuck and East Troy says a heat wave is definitely worse. Who do we have in Lodi back up there? Let's go back up there. There, Stephen Lodi says, in my experience, a heat wave is worse. Robert McFarland on MDX says a heat wave is worse, baby. Robert feeling spicy in McFarland. Kathleen in beautiful Libertyville on AUK says, for me, I think cold snap is worse. I hate putting on all the clothes and sweaters and hats and gloves. Maybe I'm being selfish. No, Kathleen, I'll go along with that. Chris in Janesville says, the second best time to download the app was yesterday when the heat wave started. The first best is today while the heat wave continues. Heat wave, please. Some must think that cold is worse there. David in Richland Center says a heat wave is worse. Nobody wants to see an old farmer without his T-shirt. Well, then there's also the farmer tan. My grandparents were farmers. You always got rolled up like that, and you get the farmer tan, right? Let's see here. Gordy says, cold weather doesn't make me so damn grouchy. And Gordy knew that the bike ride was Saturday. Now, did Gordy sell his plants on the square in the morning and then go to the bike ride? Hey, Gordy, to each their own. I got no judgment here at all. DJ in Wausau, listening on beautiful WXCO, says a heat wave is way worse. I've done the miserable summers in Texas, and there's nothing worse than being consistently wet and disgusting.
Hard agree.
I swear there is always a quarter cup of water hovering around in my shorts. Oh, really? Okay, that DJ in the song. All right, well, that's how we play What's Worse. Stay tuned. What's better is Matt DeFore, the State Bureau Chief of Wisconsin Watch, talking about AI. Will there be an artificial intelligence version of Todd and the media? Find out after this. Stay tuned for a news update here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Foreign land ownership, that is a word that is on the rise here in the U.S. I'm Ben Jarboe, the Midwest Farm Report, and Travis Trano, the Assembly Agriculture Committee Chair, gives us some insight into why there has been such a delay in getting restrictions on foreign entities' ownership of U.S. agriculture land.
We do have a lot of partnerships with other countries where they do own significant agricultural assets in this country. Canada, for example, they own some processing in Wisconsin, amongst other assets. The United States also has substantial agricultural interests in some of these other countries. In order to prevent a tit for tat, which we've kind of seen with the tariff wars, we have to figure out how we can avoid that. We want to make sure that we find a clear and concise way where we can say our foreign adversaries, they don't own any part of U.S. agriculture.
Trano says that making sure you have the right wording for these kinds of legislations is very important so other countries cannot create loopholes. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarboe, and we'll take a look at the closing markets right after this. At Second Harvest Food Bank, we know that nutritious milk is essential for growing kids and healthy families. That's why for a decade, we've partnered with Wisconsin's dairy farmers through the Adopt a Dairy Cow program. Thanks to farm families, thousands of gallons of milk have reached local families facing hunger. Visit givedairy.com during June Dairy Month. That's givedairy.com.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Zimbrick Chevrolet, Dane County's number one volume Chevy dealer with over 70 new Chevy trucks to choose from. Zimbrick Chevrolet East Madison, Sun Prairie, and ZimbrickChevrolet.com. Be sure to keep up with Pam and her travels at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook at Midwest Farm Report, on Instagram at MWF Report, or by downloading the Midwest Farm Report app.
I'm Ben Jarboe with the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's take a look at the markets. It's a downward trend today with cash corn down 9.5 cents at 419.25, and new crop corn down 7.5 at 433.75. Cash soybeans are also seeing losses of 9.25 cents at 1058.75, with new crop soybeans down 14 cents at 1046.75. July wheat is following that same trend, down 15 cents at 552.75. Class 3 milk contracts are also in the red, down 28 cents for July and at 1723 100 weight, and August contracts down 24 cents at 1787 100 weight. 40-pound block cheese is down 1.5 cents at 165, with butter up 2.5 cents at 252.5. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarboe.
As Wisconsin is brought on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
A severe thunderstorm watch has been issued. High damaging wind gusts expected around 60 to 70 miles per hour, heavy downpours, lots of lightning, and hail is possible too, which could be up to the size of ping pong balls. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 91.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety.
CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, the Tally's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like that back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Man, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwalbe.
On the next Nightlight, I'm live from Madison, where I welcome the Green Bay Automobile Gallery's Daryl Burnett. And we rank our all-time favorite summer blockbuster movies. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show at the Civic Media Radio Network. 35 minutes now past the hour of 3 o'clock here on a Monday, June 23rd, Summers. Dialing, is it AI music? Is that what it is?
It's the theme for Terminator 2.
Is it? I never saw that.
You gotta. It's such a good movie.
I saw Terminator 1, but I don't think I ever saw the Terminator. I'm
Terminator
not sure.
Terminator 2's better.
Is it really?
Yeah, I just show my kids those movies.
It's really? Yeah. All right, we'll have to check that out with Arnold Schwarzenegger. All right.
Yay.
Very good. All right, enough of that foolishness. Welcome back to the show on to more serious matters with a friend of the show. He's been on the program before. Wonderful guy. Great journalist. He is a state bureau chief of Wisconsin Watch. Mr. Matt DeFore joins us live and in person here at the table at the world headquarters. Matt, how you been?
I've been good. I just got back from New Orleans, actually.
So. Now, this is fantastic. We talked in the first part of the program. One of our human resource director, Jacqueline, is a native of Louisiana, of Baton Rouge. And so she's her and the LSU Tigers just won the national championship for men's baseball.
They've got a good team.
They have a good team. I'm taking it you didn't go down there for the baseball.
No, I was down there for the Investigative Reporters and Editors Conference, The huge conference, a few thousand people. Investigative journalism is going really strong, especially in broadcast, actually. There's a lot you've got your ProPublica, your New York Times, but, the NBCs, CBS, and all their local affiliates. There's a lot of people down there just embracing the whole need to investigate what's going on.
I think for me, I saw that I talked a little bit about this on this show, the tragedy, the assassination in Minnesota here a couple of weeks ago of the former speaker there being gunned down and her husband in her own home, and then the state senator and his wife also being gunned down, and they survived so far. But I thought that the work of the Minnesota Star Tribune, the folks at WSECO, some of this, to your point, some of these local on-the-ground journalists, they got the most accurate and best information way far ahead of the networks.
Well, and that's why Wisconsin Watch began in 2009 as an organization that recognized the reduction in investigative reporting happening in small newsrooms and mid-sized newsrooms and large newsrooms across the country. It started by former Wisconsin State Journal investigative reporters Andy and Dee Hall. And, that's what we, as Wisconsin Watch, are trying to keep strong is some element of investigative reporting in Wisconsin. But I think we're doing pretty well. I mean, we're doing well, but there are other organizations and news outlets that are continuing to do it, too. So,
yeah.
That was a big theme in New Orleans. So,
any other interesting tidbits besides the fifth quarter or whatever that's called, the French Quarter.
The fifth
quarter is very, very different. That happens at Camp Randall. Besides the French Quarter. See, I'm more Wisconsin than Louisiana.
It was fun because, as you've probably been to New Orleans, the fun part is not necessarily the
country. I'm not.
You've never been to New Orleans?
I've never been
to
New Orleans.
Well, this was a place worth checking out. I'll give you a couple tips. So one was the Mahogany Jazz Hall was around the corner from where I stayed at the Marriott where the conference was, and got to see a guy named Big Joe Kennedy tickling the ivories. He was playing with their sort of jazz all-stars group. He's a UW Parkside grad.
Wow.
So yeah, he's played in Racine, Kenosha. He's from Illinois originally, but it was cool to have that Wisconsin connection all the way down south. So.
That's super cool. Yeah. You're down there. There's a Wisconsin. This Kennedy, very different than Louisiana Senator Kennedy down there.
Probably.
Two very, very completely different guys.
Exactly right. Yeah. He's no... John, what Kennedy? He's like a.
Do you have the cut? You have the cut, Zomers? We like to keep some Senator Kennedy cuts on hand, just to lighten things up and down again. Here's one.
I like omelets better than sex. To my friends who are upset, I would say with respect, you know, call somebody who cares.
The great U.S. Senator Kennedy from Louisiana.
Right.
No, this is, yeah, but he was good. So, yeah.
Oh, that's great. I played jazz band in high school, a little bit in college. I was a mediocre drummer at best, but I love it. I mean, I could sit and listen to jazz all day long.
Then you got to go to New Orleans. That's
I really
what that
do.
Means.
Yeah, I absolutely do. All right, Matt DeFore from Wisconsin Watch. Let's talk about things closer to home. Now, you guys have done some stories on AI, and I don't believe it was you, but one of the other reporters there did a story on truthfulness in broadcasting and AI a little bit. And our own Pat Kreitlow was featured in that. Because what they did is they looked at the biggest shows in Wisconsin. Needless to say, ours was not included.
No, Pat was
they
on
did,
it.
They looked at Kreitlow. Yeah.
You're talking, so this is my investigative journalism class that I taught last year.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So what you're referring to is we did a project with UW journalism students in which we reviewed six different radio hosts across the political spectrum. Pat, I think, was representing like the left, left of center. I think you guys
was he really?
You guys were left of center. There was Michelle Bryant. There was Dan O'Donnell. There was Vicky McKenna. We had Rob Ferret from WPR. And just to kind of listen to these hosts over the course of it was the week after the Super Bowl last year.
Oh yeah.
And so the project, the students had to. We had 24 hours of audio, like six hosts, 4 hours a day, or 4 hours in the week. 24 hours, and they had to take that information and they had to break it down into individual claims that these hosts were making so that they could fact check every host and see who was being the most truthful and who, if you know, maybe being less than truthful. And so I don't know if you want to guess which was which, but it was an interesting story. You can check it out.
Our own Pat Kreitlow was pretty darn good. He came in the second most truthful, and there was a couple of minor things that
the thing about the radio business, and you can probably appreciate this, is it's so hard to probably get every single thing you say right. Because you're in live, you're not fact-checking yourself in every moment, but if you get stuff wrong, you probably want to acknowledge it later and maybe.
It's literally part of the reason that I chose as our moniker for this show, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, because you know it's a pursuit. It's something we do our best, but to your point, when you're in real time doing five shows a day, sometimes you get. We always say, "Hey, if we get something wrong, we'll go back and correct it and admit we do."
Right, but it was really stark to see with these hosts. We had again a couple on the left, a couple on the right. The ones on the right were way more likely to state things that were not true. So that was kind of the hypothesis going in, but it was interesting just to be able to like again look at every statement and just see, you know, things like, you know, Dan O'Donnell talking about how Big Macs have been getting smaller over the years, even though Snopes had done an investigation debunking that less than a year before he said it. Vicky McKenna just going off about, you know, how there was this shooter I think in Oklahoma who, you know, again, right-wing media was flaming fanning the flames of this person being transgender and the person wasn't. So it was getting that kind of stuff wrong, perhaps because they just wanted to believe it. But I don't know. I mean, we try not to speculate this stuff. We were really trying to stick to the facts. It was an interesting investigation, but that was not done with AI.
Got it. Okay.
So that's, you know, in terms of what we are. I presented the results of that at this conference in New Orleans, but the AI piece came in because that project led to the students working on, or the project the students worked on led to a product being developed using AI by a group called GigaFact that would have allowed the students to basically do all that tracking of the quotes much quicker.
And really?
So we what we're looking at is a product that could potentially help us scale this up so that it could be done at a much bigger faster way.
So this brings up a very interesting topic, and we're talking with Matt DeForest, State Bureau Chief of Wisconsin Watch, and we've had this debate in civic media, and people around here kind of know my feelings. I tend to be very anti-AI, but what some people tell me is kind of, I think, where the path that you guys are going down in this research is that, well, Todd, there are some things AI could do faster for you without writing anything for you. But just so tell us a little bit about if AI had been in place in helping your students do this fact checking on shows, how would it have been different?
So we estimated that it took over 100 hours for the students. So let me start with, they were able to use an Otter transcription tool. So they didn't have to like type out the interviews. I'm talking about after you have the transcript, going through the transcript and identifying claims in each sentence and all that. And that process probably took more than 100 hours before we could even start the fact-checking process.
Got it.
We took the same hosts this year after the Super Bowl for 24 hours using this new tool. We were able to come up with that list of claims in 2 hours.
Wow.
So what AI is capable of doing in some sense is just taking this massive amount of information that's out there in the world and just condensing it for us before we even get to the point where we're relying on it to tell us what's true or false. And so that's where we're at right now with using that as a tool. But yeah, and there's other examples too. So the Texas Tribune, for example, has used this tool to take Ted Cruz's podcast. Mm-hmm. He's recorded apparently 700 episodes of his own podcast. And the Texas Tribune used this tool to feed all 700, I don't know if they're hour-long podcasts, but feed them through this machine. And it can spit back. Again, it's what it's doing is it's telling you what are the key points, what are the key quotes. And it's citing them too. It's not just making stuff up. You can actually click on it and see, okay, he did say that here in the transcript. But it's doing it faster than reading or listening to and typing out 700 episodes of Ted Cruz. They were able to analyze all that in just a matter, you know, much more quickly.
It's fascinating to me because I think about the way that newsrooms are being cut. We heard last Friday in a dump that a former longtime host, Joy Cardine of Wisconsin Public Radio, called out her a former employer and said, I really expected better my former employer than their own Friday afternoon news dump. But I believe it was a dozen or so people at Wisconsin Public Radio and three or four shows that were canceled. And so we've seen this certainly in print. It used to be at the Wisconsin State Journal and other places who are cutting back on their staff. But are you suggesting, Matt DeFore, that in this case, this might be a case where, you know, there's a and this is not unprecedented, a 4 or 5 hour Madison City Council meeting, and the reporter or the journalist is trying to say, oh, who said this? And they can plug that into an AI program and like that, you know?
That does exist already. Okay. And there, yes, this particular product is looking more at like maybe the top 2,000 politicians in the country, the governors, the senators, the congresspeople, state lawmakers. But yes, you could have essentially, think about all these village boards and city councils and school boards all over the state of Wisconsin. There's thousands of them not getting covered at all.
100%.
But this is a kind of a tool. There are other tools like this that you could use to parse out what's being said without having to sit through a four-hour meeting. I mean, when I started my career 20 years ago in journalism, I was sitting at
20. You're not that old.
I am. Yeah.
Good God. You're just a kid. Come on.
20 years ago, when I started in this field, I love that I can now say those kinds of things. Right. In these, I can reminisce.
Just wait. There'll be a point where you're like, I don't want to.
But no, I was sitting through the Oswego Village Board meeting in Oswego, Illinois.
That's great, by the way. For Oswego.
For 3 or 4 hours, and maybe, you know, obviously you had to write something, but you know. The idea that you can now use AI to take a recording of that meeting, again, it's important that these meetings are recorded at least, and you can basically get a synopsis of what happened. And then the reporters can have a collection of all those things. We call this the metal detector analogy, because if you think about it, like what we're just trying to do is find the news, find what's important to people. And if we're on the beach, you know, scanning with our metal detector, the AI tool here is basically allowing us to cover a bigger area. It's not replacing the people with the metal detectors. It's just it's making their effectiveness that much greater.
I think this is fantastic, as you described that, because one of the missions of civic media, one of the predominant missions, is to cover be community-driven. And to your point, we have a lot of Shelley Pittman, our news director now, and we have a lot of people across Wisconsin, reporters, but even the reporters we have can't get to every single meeting. And so what you're suggesting is maybe these tools can help a staff cover things better, and therefore the public is better informed.
Yeah, and the product we're using, too, the Parser one, like I said, there are others that you do it for meetings. Ours is looking at this idea of, think of all those podcasts out there. Think of all these radio shows like yours that are out there. We're seeing a tool here potentially where you could use it to just keep on top of everything that's being said by politicians. But yeah, as our world gets bigger and bigger, you know, that's what we have to do to kind of keep it all.
Yeah.
To keep it under.
Keep it under control. We're going to come back, and Matt DeFore is going to tell Todd whether he will be replaced by AI in the near future. And we'll listen to a little jazz from New Orleans. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. For the last few months, Governor Tony Evers has said repeatedly that he would make a decision about whether or not to run for a third term after the state budget process is completed. In a recent opinion column at the Recombobulation Area, I made the argument that the decision that Evers should make should be to not seek a third term as Wisconsin's governor. This argument is not one of ideological differences or policy disagreements. Tony Evers has been a good governor and has served the state well. This more has to do with Evers' age. He'll be 75 years old in November 2026, and about how the Democratic Party has had a massive, inescapable problem in its unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. Tony Evers needs to do what so many other Democrats have struggled so mightily to do and step aside when the time is right. And after Joe Biden's catastrophic 2024, this is a conversation we need to be having, and we need to be having it now. Democrats can't keep repeating the same mistakes over and over. It's time to do things differently.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Look up cheese curds. You'll find this basic definition: wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, did you guess? It takes 10 pounds of milk, which is a big gallon jug plus a little bit more, to make 1 pound of squeaky cheese curds. Call me your curd girl for this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're 8 minutes before the hour of 4 o'clock at the top of the hour. ABC, CBS News, and Jack Kelly News coming up. James Kelly.
James Kelly, yes. That's they're very different people.
I know they're very different people. We're just talking about Jack Kelly. But no, it's James Kelly News out of WCFW, The Tap. So it's either going to be ABC, CBS, or James Kelly at the top of the hour, followed by a look of whether it might be some strong storms, particularly in central and south central Wisconsin tonight. So be aware of that. And then our great sports reporter, Mike Clemens, will be along with a sports report as well. The Brewers got a big sweep over the Minnesota Twins. And we haven't even talked today about the Miz, Mizorowski. Had a no-hitter going, a perfect game, going into the seventh inning. Did you watch this? Matt DeFore, are you a Brewers fan?
I'm a Cubs fan.
Oh, goodness gracious! That's the end of this segment, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just kidding. See you later, DeFore.
tip your waiter. All right.
Mizorowski had a perfect game going into the seventh inning, I believe. Gave up a home run, and so Murph took him out. But wow, what a game! And Mizorowski scheduled to pitch at Milwaukee this Wednesday. So Clemens will have an update on all of that coming up. And then the Maggie Dawn Show every afternoon from 4 until 6, followed by our friend Pete Schwabba and Nightlight from 6 until 8. Right now, we have the one, the only Matt DeForest, State Bureau Chief of the great publication called Wisconsin Watch. You can find all their work online. Talking about this really interesting AI in media, Matt, you've laid out why, all right, you've convinced me it's a good tool for journalists to use. Are we getting to the point, though, where if companies, whether it's print, whether it's online, whether it's radio, that they could just set these bots up to listen into stuff and then just create their own writing, their own programming, and to heck with Todd, let's get him out of here.
I mean, I don't think they can replace people certainly doing the reporting. AI right now only knows what is already known, right? Mm. That's its learning model. It's not doing any investigative reporting. It's not asking people for things that are new. So reporting and editing is still going to be vital. I mean, you know, we have spell check, right, in our
thanks goodness for Todd, but yeah.
But I mean, you know, the way technology is progressing, there are certain things that maybe, you know, we're not hiring a whole army of reporters to go to these city council meetings all over the state. But, you know, there's been some talk about how can we cover all these meetings now that the news papers have been reduced in workforce. So I don't think we are going to be using AI, at least in the near term, because it's not, I mean, it has a lot of problems too, right? Like right. We saw the guy who put the summer reading list together using AI in the Chicago Sun-Times and the Philadelphia Inquirer, and it like made up books. Mm. You know, it's this is still a major problem, but I don't think of journalism's main role as just aggregating what we already know. It is finding out what is really going on in Robin Voss's office, and AI has no idea. I mean, if you ask it, it'll probably make something up. So.
Really?
Well, it does, right? AI has a real problem with, like,
I like to hear that.
Not knowing, right? It'll, like, if you ask it something, it sometimes will hallucinate, right? That's the term.
Does it ever really?
AI?
Yeah. Hallucinates?
ChatGPT, if you look at those answers you get at the top of the Google search, they're not always right. Like, that information is not always correct. It will sometimes give you just stuff that it makes up. So
this is what scares the crap out of me.
It's the same thing as pictures where they have the wrong number of fingers, but it's with words. So
I feel like the finger thing they can teach it, but I don't know.
Does it ask you questions back if it's unsure?
I think it does give sometimes again, this isn't like every time, right? Right. I mean, it's enough that you need to be really cautious, but it will tell you things like, it might say, I need more information, or right. I can't quite tell, I can't answer this question, but here's what I know. So
I'm this is serious, or you know, I'm not, it's Joe Biden says, I'm not goofing around, but I just think of, I mean, what I've talked about on this show before, not just you, but other people like Patrick Marley or Jason Stein, other people, you know, Steve Walters, people, journalists that during my time in the Capitol, I was working for a legislator, seeing you guys in the hall, outside the building, having conversations sometimes on background or off the record. There's a rapport that is built there, and I think that brings a seasoning to somebody like you, and in my opinion, that's why you're one of the truly great journalists in the state, not just you, but others, because of that, and no machine, in my opinion, can ever replicate that.
No, and you know, we send our interns in. We've got interns covering the budget, and they're doing a fantastic job because they're in the Capitol, right? They're mm-hmm. actually watching it happen. And that's not replaceable by AI for sure.
No, there has to be, in my opinion, a human element to know the context of the facts.
But it is scary how much it does know, right? Like if you ask, have you done any ChatGPT?
Yes, a little bit. I've started the show. I can tell you right now, Matt DeFore, when you come to my funeral, it'll say Todd was taken out by an AI robotic dog. That's how I'm going down.
But people don't want to listen to that though, right? Like that's why, I mean, they want to listen to a real person who's got real stories about, you know, like AI doesn't have any stories. You know,
the AI dog?
He doesn't have any stories.
Like, the time I took Todd out, you know.
If it's Robert Smigel doing like Insult the Comic Dog, sure. But not if it's an AI dog.
Insult the Comic Dog. That's fantastic.
Triumph the Insult Comic Dog. Sorry. Triumph.
He was on Hollywood Squares.
Oh, yeah.
The reboot. I just saw that. Michael Strahan does the new Hollywood. They had Triumph as a whatever. right. a panelist.
Yeah, I'm sure. That's a great.
All right.
That's what you need.
DeForest says, I walked all the way over here for this. No. It's fantastic, and you guys do great work at Wisconsin Watch. I appreciate you being a part of this show, because the more that we can focus on Wisconsin, the better all of us are.
We are trying to fight the good fight still. We are expanding. We're growing. I just saw our annual report today. Quite impressive stuff.
Good
so
for you.
Check us out at wisconsinwatch.org and support local journalism.
Wisconsinwatch.org. That is the organization. Matt DeForest, State Bureau Chief. That's the person. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Todd. It's great.
Always a pleasure. Many thanks to State Senator Keldo Royce for being on the show. And also Stephen Zunez, a professor of politics and Middle Eastern Studies at the University of San Francisco, will maintain updating you on the story in the Middle East, and look forward to being with you tomorrow. Don't go anywhere now. Maggie Dawn is next. Todd Allball saying, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks to Zombers and to Parker as well. See you tomorrow.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. U.S. troops remain on high alert in the Middle East after Iran launched missiles at a U.S. base in Qatar following those U.S. strikes on Iranian nuclear facilities this weekend. There are some 10,000 U.S. troops stationed in Qatar at Central Command's regional headquarters, the base seen by the Pentagon as essential to regional security. The U.S. says there was no impact to the base and no casualties. ABC's Karen Travers says the U.S. tried to hold talks with Iran before Saturday's airstrikes in Iran.
There was a last-ditch effort at diplomacy last week, according to sources. The president was having conversations with the president of Turkey, President Erdogan, about trying to arrange a meeting with Iranian officials. But we now know that the supreme leader of Iran had gone into hiding, concerned about an assassination attempt, and was not able to sign off on that meeting. So it did not take place.
President Trump, after meeting with his national security team, says Iran launched 14 missiles and they were intercepted by the U.S. This is ABC.